That was a blessing. I enjoyed that. Seems like I've heard that tune somewhere, though. A different song. I really enjoyed those. A blessing. Psalm 46 and 2 Kings, chapters 18 and 19. You'll be there tonight. Who wants to give a word of praise to the Lord tonight? Something good, something fresh. I'll say I didn't get the count for the Spanish bus, but we had 52 on the English bus and one assurance. Thankful the Lord for that. You know, it's something wrong when the children's church keeps having the same kids come forward over and over and over for salvation. We don't have that, and I'm grateful for it. But wonderful assurance. Someone got assurance of salvation. And, boy, I wish somebody had given me that before I was 16. Great. Word of testimony, word of praise. Shout it out for Jesus tonight. Who wants to do that? Brother Tom? Amen. Got over getting saved. Amen. Me too. Best decision I ever made. Amen. Who else? Come on. Let's get these. Let's have them. Yes, ma'am. Jackie? Thank you. Who else? Elizabeth? Amen. Wonderful. Who else? Yes, sir. Yes. It could have been bad. I think John was just too fast. I think you were just too fast and the snake was just too slow. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, Maggie. Speak up good and loud. I can't hear you. Epilepsy. It's okay. Yeah, God heard our prayers, didn't he? We were all praying on that. Great testimony. Who else? Somebody else? Yes, Rick.
My wife and I, in our devotional time, we've been reading through the Psalms. And Psalm 111, if you will, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. And assembly that way and in congregation. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great. Thank you, Lord, that he's still on the throne.
know. Amen. Amen. Last chance. Anybody else want to give praise to the Lord? You love the Lord tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
David? I better sit down. Amen. Amen. Psalm 46, verse 1, the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. Is that so for you tonight? A very present help in trouble. Lord, we're often in trouble. We have serious circumstances that take place in our life. We have great sorrow that comes. We have devastation and sometimes disaster. And we're grateful to know that you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are a present help in the midst of trouble. And I pray tonight that you'd encourage us from this psalm and other passages. In thy name I pray, amen. Natural disasters are devastating. I don't know if you've seen the footage of the Bahamas where this Hurricane Dorian came across, and I think actually, if I heard the news right, it came across three different times, and it's just absolutely devastated and flattened the Bahamas. I know our missionaries, the Ashleys, left the morning for Puerto Rico as it was supposed to hit that 24 hours, and Brother Allison, he was trying to encourage them to stay till after it passed through, but they had diesel fuel and generators and water. They have a storage. They're quite prepared for it, and they felt like they needed to get back for their people and get back to kind of button down everything at the church and at their home. But we've seen national disasters, and we've seen great devastation that comes, whether it be earthquakes or hurricanes or tornadoes or war or whatever. It can't compare to the pain and the hurt that devastates personal life. And there's many of us who have lived long enough to suffer some of that. Brokenhearted, a grieving spirit, they're not easy to repair. But the child of God needs to learn how to deal with devastation and disaster. The background of Psalm 46 takes us back to the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. There's an Assyrian army that was ready to come against them to destroy them. Sennacherib was the Assyrian king, and he sends Rabshakeh, as a messenger to go and to speak to Hezekiah, to tell him that he has no hope. He has no army. He has no force or any type of defense. In 2 Kings chapter 19, he speaks to him. He tells him, go tell King Hezekiah, speak ye now to Hezekiah that saith the king, the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? He says, thou sayest, but they are but words, but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now of whom doth thou trust that thou rebellest against me? So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he sends this messenger, And he gives him an intimidating message. And, you know, we listen to the news and we listen to the world and we listen to the experts who do not know the Lord. It's always doom and gloom. We have no hope. We have one chance. And they want to push a pill or they want to push some treatment. They want to push some man's logic about it. So in 2 Kings 18 down in verse 29, the Bible says, "Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hands of the king of the Syrians." So God assures Hezekiah. He tells him that he is going to continue to provide for his people and provide protection from the Assyrians. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 32, you see it says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there." He's saying he's not going to get through the city limits. I'm God, and I'm not going to let him get through the city limits. He's not going to get an arrow on the string of the bow. He's not going to get one round shot off. That's what God's saying here. He said, "Nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return." He's going to come just the way he came in, "and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord." And look what God says in verse 34. "I will defend the city to save it." And he tells why. "For my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Well, that speaks volumes to me. David, still his testimony, even though he was had sinned and had failure in his life, David still was God's man, and God was protecting him. God said, for my own sake and for David's sake, I want to defend this city. In verse 35, it says, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. That's 185,000 people, soldiers, died. That's a bunch. "In the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So the rest of them wake up, and there's 185,000 dead soldiers laying in their rack, laying in their foxhole, finished. So Sennacherib, king of the Assyrians, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. So we see that this was a great turmoil. This was a tremendous pressure on Hezekiah. And God had spoken to him and said, I'm going to protect you. Because of my servant David and for my own sake, I'm going to protect you. He's not going to get an arrow off. You're not going to lose one casualty. Thus saith the Lord, I'm going to protect the city. And that night as the Assyrians dug in and they got ready and they had some 2,000 horses and they've got all this artillery and they've got all this force and they're intimidating and they're fierce and they're talking big talk and what they're going to do, the angel of the Lord comes in and smokes 185,000 men. Boom. They wake up dead in the morning. I like to say that. And they said, my. I think we need to regroup and go back home. And that's what they did. Now, God took care of the problem of Hezekiah. And I just believe he'll take care of us too. Some of you got some burdens. You've been praying about it. And it seems that God's not working and nothing's changing. But that's through our eyes. We don't know what God is doing. I believe that when we pray that our prayers do not go up in vain. I think God hears everyone. He says, "Call on me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." The Bible tells us that his hand's not too short to reach, his ear's not too heavy to hear. And even while we speak, he's answering the prayer. I want you to notice three things tonight. The presence of God, the peace of God, and thirdly, the promises of God. Notice the presence of God. In Psalm 46, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's there. I saw a comic strip this week. It made me chuckle a little bit. You know that Footprints in the Sand poem? You know that? And it says, Lord, during this times, you know, there's only one set of footprints. Did you leave me? And, you know, the poem says, no, son, I didn't leave you. That's the time I was carrying you. Those were my footprints. In the comics, it shows the man. And he says, Lord, I see two sets of footprints, but what's this trail here? He says, oh, that, son, that's when I drug you kicking and screaming. And I thought, boy, that's been true. Sometimes God's drugged me kicking and screaming. Notice he says he's our refuge and strength. He is present, a present help in trouble. I love how God appears at the beginning of verse four, or of Psalm 46. God is not some impersonal superior being. He loves us. He's the one who gave his only begotten son for us to die in our place. He is our God. He's not some generic force, some magnet force out in the universe. He's our God. He is a personal God. He's a powerful God who understands us. He understands our sorrow, our grief, our despair. He knows our needs. The secret of peace is that personal relationship with God. He says, our refuge and our strength. And there's a personal relationship that's there. In Psalm 23, I know you all know that well, but notice in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is He's our Savior. He's our refuge. He's our strength. Notice he says in Psalm 23, my shepherd, he maketh me, he leadeth me, he restoreth me, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, thou preparest a table for me. He says, on and on through this text, he's a personal God. Now, God's our refuge, or he's our hiding place. There's sometimes you have to hide. Some of us are used to taking problems straight on. David was that kind of a person. He took Goliath straight on. But when it came to King Saul, he hid for about, 14 years. And when we were in Israel, we were in the foothills of the caves that David had hid in, and supposedly been the cave where he had taken the piece of garment off of King Saul. But it's a hiding place, and we can hide, and our hiding place today is, it's not a cave, and it's not a pill, and it's not a drink. We hide in God. When the storms come, we are safe in him, safer than any storm shelter available. God's our source of strength. God gives us strength. He gives strength to those who are weak. And we may be here, you might think, well, you know, God, I'm not strong. If I was strong like this person, or I was strong like that person. But I want to tell you something. None of us are strong. None of us are powerful. We're all weak. We're all frail. Every one of us. And we may think that we're strong. And we may think that we're ready to take on the world. And old Billy Sunday used to say, come on up, old smutty face. Come on, let's go a few rounds. Well, I want to tell you something. There's none of us here that are ready to go a few rounds. We're weak and we're frail, but we have a God who is our refuge. We have a God who is our strength. He's there for us. He gives us strength. He gives strength to the weak, and waiting on the Lord renews our strength. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So God is our present help in the very time of trouble. God is always with us. He's greater. He's greater than any trouble we have. And we need to hide in Him. We don't need to quit. We don't need to fold. We need to go to Him and hide in Him until we can come out. There's the presence of God. As long as God is with us, we can endure any of it. But not just the presence of God, but the psalmist deals with the peace of God. In Psalm 46, verses 2 through 7, look what he says. Therefore, will not we fear. Now, why is he saying therefore? Because God is our refuge and our strength. He's present in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad in the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He says, the heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. The peace of God cancels out the fear of the world. Notice verse 2, therefore, let me say, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because He's a very present help in trouble, because of that, there's the peace of God. Therefore, will not we fear. When faith comes, fear flees. We need to go deeper in our faith. What are you afraid of? What's your fear? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So what are you afraid of? The place your faith, put your faith in the one who not just calms the sea, but He walks on the water. Notice, regardless of what takes place, the children of God have no fear. Notice, no fear, though the earth be removed. Verse 2, though the earth be removed. No fear, though the mountains fall into the sea, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. No fear, though the waves rage on the sea. Verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. No fear, though the earthquakes shake the mountains. Verse 3, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. See, the peace of God is there because we acknowledge Him as our refuge, our strength, and the present help in the midst of our trouble. Now, peace increases as we look towards heaven. He gives us a glimpse of heaven, doesn't He? He says that there's a river. You know what that river is? It's the river of life. It's there. He says there's a city. You know what that city is? It's the city of God. That's there. And we've been told that Jesus is there preparing a place for us. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. These disciples were troubled. Jesus had told them He wasn't going to be long with them. Jesus had told them He was going to be executed. He was going to be crucified. Jesus told them that one of them was a devil. Jesus told them that one of them would deny Him three times. That's a lot of stuff for Jesus to say to trouble anybody, isn't it? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what we need to do when we have trouble? We just need to believe deeper in our God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where is this place? By the rivers of water at the city of God, and Jesus is preparing it for us. Peace, because the Lord of hosts is with us. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, I know we're flesh, and we're weak, and we're pretty pathetic. But this is Almighty God telling us this. He says, you have my presence. Because of who I am, you need to rest in me in peace. I'm going to protect you. And then lastly, he gives us his promises. Notice God is at work even when the world is shaken. Verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. You look around and this world has no hope. There are those in the Bahamas crying out, we need help. We're going to perish. And they will. If we don't go over there and help them, the disease and the filth and the devastation and those who have barely survived, they're going to die. But God is our help. What is it tonight that's burdened you so greatly that you're weak in your faith and you're small in your belief? And God's a small God in your life. Tonight you need to acknowledge him as Almighty God. That doesn't mean we don't have times of sorrow. That doesn't mean that we don't have times of weakness. That doesn't mean that we don't have times that we just look to God and say, when are you going to move in this thing? God is at work even when the world is shaken. God is a God who overrules the affairs of man. Look at verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. You see, Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, boasted that God couldn't protect nor deliver them out of his hand. You know what God did? He overruled the affairs of man. And God, even though it looks like impossible, even though it looks like things are stacked against you and you don't think that you're going to be able to get through this, I want to tell you something. All God has to do is overrule it. The angel of the Lord smote the camp. 185,000 soldiers were dead. And Sennacherib, the king, he escaped only to be assassinated later by his own sons in 2 Kings, verse 19, verse 37. Now, we can still have sorrow, we can still have trouble, but God tells us to be still in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. We're no different than those disciples that when we're in the midst of the storm, we see someone coming. It's the Messiah. It's our refuge. He's our strength, and we're fearful thinking that he's a ghost. And he says, be not afraid, for it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me come. Bid me to come on the water unto thee. He says, come. And Peter walked on the water. And I don't care to talk about tonight that he took his eyes off the Lord, put his eyes on the storm, and began to sink. That's where a lot of us are, but I'll tell you something he did that the other didn't do. He walked on water. The Lord went over him, picked him up by the hand, and they walked back to the boat together. And if I had a half drowned, and they said, hi, Peter, you almost drowned. Hi, Peter. You know, I'd say, boys, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what it feels like to walk on water. I hadn't preached it in many years, but I'll tell you something. There's boat people, and there's water walkers. The boat people will tell you, you can do it, Peter. Not me. It's not for me, but you're a water walker. You can do it. Boat people are all for water walkers. The water walkers tithe. The water walkers go soul winning. The water walkers have prayer lives. The water walkers serve the Lord. They drive buses and they pick up kids. They teach Sunday school. They work in children's church. They work in King's Kids. They reach out to deaf. Those are water walker people. The boat people come in and sit on their boat bottom on Sunday morning and leave. You're welcome. I got a mean thing in me tonight. Pray for me. Pray for yourself. You're going to need it. I got a lot taken care of this morning. I just need to finish it up tonight. Understand this. If you don't know where to go, be still. Now, when we're in the storm, we don't know much, but the only thing we do know is we want out of it. Years ago, I had preached. I don't remember even where it was at. We were very young. Debbie and I were very, very young. And she and I were alone. Someone had our kids. I don't remember where they were at. But we were driving through Guntown, Mississippi. Now, how many know where Guntown, Mississippi is? They call it Pistolville. And my favorite uncle lived there, Uncle Monroe. Now, Uncle Monroe would out-talk any of you here tonight. And that's saying a lot. My Uncle Monroe would come up to my two sons and give them $2 apiece. He says, here's $2 for you, Josh. Here's $2 for you, John. Now, don't tell your sisters because I don't have any more money. I don't have enough to go around. And we were thinking, well, you could give one to each. I don't know if they ever told y'all or not. My Aunt Pauline could fix rabbit better than anybody that you could have imagined. And we were driving close to Guntown. I called them and I said, I've been preaching over here in this town and we're coming back home and we have time to stop and have a meal with you if you wouldn't mind. And they said, no, come on, we'll. And she was a fabulous cook. And we had a great meal. And then I said, we got to go. We got to hit the road. And we took off from Memphis. And we didn't get but about maybe 4 miles. And remember that, Debbie? And a tornado came up on the ground. And we pulled in this little abandoned Texaco station. It still had the little... But, man, that thing was shaking. I was afraid it was going to come down on the car. And all I knew was I needed to get out of this, and I turned around and went back to Uncle Monroe and Aunt Pauline's house for a while. We were in Alabama, coming back from Alabama just this past year. And we got to outside of Corinth. You know that area pretty well. If you run off the road there, your car will be covered with kudzu, and it'll take 3 weeks for them to find you. I'm pretty sure kudzu's the only thing holding the whole state of Mississippi together. Now, I want to tell you, I've logged a lot of miles behind the wheel, but I was afraid. The rain was so hard, and we turned the radio on, and there was a tornado on the ground. I knew the area. I knew where it was at, and it was right there on us. There's nowhere to pull over, and I finally pulled over in the parking lot of this one type of Masonic Lodge parking lot or something like that. But we're not safe there. They'll pick our car up and just throw us like a matchbox car. I thought, we got to get out of this, and I got back on the highway. We could not see. I couldn't see the drive. I was afraid to stop. And then I saw it. What's the name of that place? Do you remember the name of that place? Something about Ho Hog Barbecue. I thought, God's answered my prayer. It's an old gas station. And we pulled underneath the pavilion and ran inside. And we had some barbecue bologna and some other stuff. And we just sat there. And we sat there for 2.5 hours. When you're in the storm, all you might know is to get out of it. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what's going on. I just want to get out of it. So be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. Verse 11, The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And I think sometimes, I'm not trying to be mean here, but I think sometimes we think, well, God's going to do that for Jacob. But I'm not Jacob. You know who Jacob was? The trickster. The supplanter. Stole his brother's birthright. He had a way with words. He told a little bit of truth, but he danced around enough, he danced around the bush enough that he always came out smelling like a rose. But finally, he had a wrestle with God, and God touched him where he couldn't run anymore and dealt with him. And if he's the God of Jacob, surely he can be our almighty God too. God will take care of his own. John 1:12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He tells us in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace is not in man. The peace is not within our own ability or our own effort. The peace has to be in God. God takes care of his own. So when the foundations are shaken, when the clouds are dark and they begin to form, when the wind begins to howl and to blow, listen to me, God's our refuge. I learned a long time ago, if God doesn't do it, it's not permanent. And there's some things that only God can do. Now, Psalm 46 begins and ends with this statement. It begins with God is our refuge, and it ends with God is our refuge. And there are some wonderful comfort for times of trouble. Let me give you three truths, and I'll be done. Number one, God's children begin and end each day in God's presence. We wake up, God is with us. We go to bed, God is with us. Secondly, God is sufficient when the world is falling apart. He is sufficient. Thirdly, we can trust the Lord to bring us safely through. Stand with me. Now, do you have a personal relationship with the one who can and will deliver us through whatever disaster you might be facing? Hezekiah didn't have a dog's chance. But God said, for my sake and for the sake of David's, he won't get one arrow shot off. Those Assyrians, listen, they went to bed that night. I'm sure they had their Wheaties laid out for a big breakfast the next morning to go and take on the day. The breakfast of champions. And 185,000 of them were dead the next morning. And they looked around and said, we better rethink this thing. Now, if Hezekiah had a compromise, he'd lost it all. So listen to me. Go deeper in your faith. Go deeper in your belief in God. Know who he is. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He'll get you through it. Go deeper in your trust and your faith. That burden you have tonight might be physical. Might be financial. Might be relationship involved. But I'll tell you something. Listen to me. Our God can fix it. You bring it to him. I don't know why he won't do so. And on the outside, the mountains are shaking, the storms raging, and things are falling apart, and the earth is melting. And we listen to the world, we listen to the news, and we listen to the experts and we listen to all the know-it-alls and think, man, this is done. But I want to tell you something. It's not done until God says it's done. And he can change it. In one night, they had 185,000 reasons why they should not go in and fight. Boy, I wish I could have been there. I'd have been on the mountainside. Hey! God did this! I'd be you, I would. Years ago, we lived beside an atheist. And he hated me. He came over to our house when we moved in, and things, we shared a townhouse together. So it's not like we were next door neighbors. It's like we were living in the same structure. He came over and said, I'm Donnie. I said, I'm Rick. And he was talking, and he said, what do you do? I said, I'm the assistant pastor, associate pastor of Calvary Baptist. He said, oh, God, no. I said, is that upsetting to you? He says, well, he said, I don't tell anybody, but no one in the neighborhood knows this, but I'm an atheist. And I looked at him without missing a beat, and I said, well, I don't blame you. I'd be ashamed of it, too. I won't tell anybody. I said, what do you do? He says, I'm a main guitar player for the Charlie Rich band. I said, oh, gosh, you got to be kidding me. You'll be strumming that guitar all the time on the other side of this wall. I said, no, I'm very considerate about that stuff. He got where? He'd weed his flower bed and throw it in my front yard. Now, I want to tell you, I'm 63 now, but back then I was like, you know, 26. And I could have kicked him three times in the face before he could take a second breath back then, and I could have. And I wanted to snap him, Brother Martis, Brother Tom, I wanted to snap him like a toothpick. He was come out the back of his house, and he'd call his wife, Hillary, come and look at what this guy's done. Look what he's done. And I just thought, man. And I used to think about maybe God needs a spiritual tact team to go rub people out that need to just go, just need to die. We were at a youth rally in Dallas, Texas. I had probably close to 30 or a little over 30 teenagers on the bus. I was the only adult on the bus. And at the end of that rally, it was done Monday through Friday. It was done Friday at 4 o'clock, and we all went to Six Flags until midnight. And then we got on the bus, and I drove all night on the bus. I dropped all the kids off about 8 o'clock that morning at the church, and Debbie is home with little bitty kids. And so I just drove the bus home and parked it in front of our townhouse. It made him mad, made my neighbor mad, and he went out there and he flattened a tire. I'd driven all night. I was up for some 36, 38 hours. And when I got up, I went out there and I saw the flat tire on the bus. And I thought, boy, that guy did that. And I got on my knees in the living room on the couch, and I prayed, and I said, God, get him. Get him. God, I could snap him. God, I'd break every finger off. He'd never play the guitar again if I had my way. Get him. God, I can't touch him. I'm here to fight your battles. I want to fight against fornication and against drugs and against liquor, and I'll fight you. But God, you got to fight my battles. God, do something to him. And it dawned on me. He had this huge yacht. Lived in a townhouse, but had a yacht. And he had this big car with all thousands of dollars of work underneath it to be able to pull this big boat. And I said, God, wreck his car. God, wreck his car. Destroy his car. Amen. I got up, and Debbie's standing in the doorway like this. She says, what are you doing? I said, that bum let the air out. You know what? That's not my air. That's God's air. That's not my tire. That's God's tire. That's not my bus. That's God's bus. And I just asked God to trash his car, destroy it. And she said, You think God's going to do that? I said, yeah, I do. I just asked him to do it. I think he's going to do it. My hand up. 2 weeks, he's driving in. The back of his big old Impala was shoved all the way up to the steering wheel. A garbage truck ran into the back of his car. I was on the front porch. God did that. God wrecked your car, atheist. You believe in God? I didn't say that, but I was screaming that on the inside. And I said, Debbie, come here. Didn't I? And she came and she looked at me. I said, don't mess with me, woman. No, I didn't say that part. Can I tell you something? I want to tell you something. It's been years ago. God vindicates us. God delivers us. God protects us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is present and help in times of trouble. Capital G. O.D. God. That's who our Father is. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. What is it tonight that's impossible? Bring it to your Father that all things are possible. Father, give us victory. You promised Hezekiah not an arrow would enter the city.